Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery on Round Rock, where we talk about games, comics, and other stuff on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And let's go to the show for this week. This is the Roguecast for Wednesday, April 1st. No fooling. There will be no April Fools. Randy hates April Fools.
Yes, he does. In fact, he really does. For people who watch John Oliver's show, what's it called?
Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
He did a little five-minute segment on the horribleness that is pranks.
Yep, and why you're a terrible person if you participate in April Fool's Day.
I was surprised it wasn't at the under the how is this still a thing
I think it's just because it was a web exclusive. It would have been perfect.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. It was a web exclusive.
How is it still just a thing is never John Oliver doing, and it's actually just the voiceover guy? So that's why. It would have been their announcer doing it. They do a different style for that.
Oh, is it not John Oliver on this?
It's their announcer dude.
Okay.
At any rate, this is really our podcast. And as always, we'll start with a big rundown of news coming up. April's a busy month. First of all, April 10th, Daredevil will premiere on Netflix.
Woo!
We are all gathering together to watch it because it's the day before Nick's birthday. It's going to double as a birthday video marathon.
Yep. If by chance it sucks, it's a blow against Nick's birthday, and we'll take revenge on the producers.
Dave's the only one who's going to hate it, so it won't really matter.
I'm going to bring it down for all of y'all.
I'm actually going to predict that Dave is going to love it.
Maybe so. We'll all hate it.
It's possible.
What a twist.
So, I'm just bracing to just in case.
Yep. I've been spoiled on a few things that you guys haven't, which I'm not going to talk about, but I've heard some really cool things.
He fights Ultron in every episode.
Nick, you're the leak in our trailer blockade.
I wasn't.
He's a willing leak, though. He's not he's like public.
I know.
Sometimes I get told because
he's an openly corrupt cop. That's his deal.
I think I have this problem where some of my friends who aren't you guys, and
Have other friends?
I have other friends who don't really keep up with comics, and sometimes they go out of the way so they can talk about it.
You're the comics guy.
And I'm the comics guy, and they find out some of these things, like, they read an article from whatever.
They'll be like, Daredevil's going to fight the Kingpin in a climactic scene of the first episode, is that true? Or you're like, thanks.
It's things like that, and it just happens, and it's not something to get upset about.
I got something to tell you, Nick, those aren't your friends.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, my in-laws are the same way. They try to relate to me on whatever comics.
Yeah.
But they're always like a year behind. So they're like, I saw that Winter Soldier. That was really good. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't worry about spoilers. They have no idea about the upcoming stuff.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, April 10th, Daredevil. April 11th is also Nick's birthday.
It's true.
But possibly more importantly for the store. Sorry, Nick. It's International Tabletop Day. It's our third year in a row doing it. We've got a good lineup, and you can see that on our website and Facebook. April 12th, that Sunday, we have demo of Cuisine de Card, April 13th, that Monday, is our ladies' night at Star Coffee.
So many things.
April 14th, that Tuesday, is Reading with Rogues, Birthright.
I'm declaring that Rogue Week.
Yeah. And then April 20th is Gaming with Rogues at Mesa Rosa. It's going to be Settlers of Catan, just like Reading with Rogues is also going to be at Mesa Rosa this month.
Right.
And finally, that's all news you guys have heard before. We have a bit of new news this week, which is we are starting up our Friday Night Magic again.
Yes, indeed. With something of a new focus.
Yeah, we're trying to – there's a lot of places in town that you can play sort of competitive magic, sort of cutthroat, smack talk, and magic. And we want to be in line with sort of our general vibe as a store.
Yeah.
Sort of family-friendly friendly to people who just want to come and play the game casually. Yeah. So,
which also includes, I think, a lot of the people who are like more hardcore players.
Oh, sure.
But it's like – that's not going to be what we emphasize here. It's
right.
It's going to be probably what you're going to come to.
Yeah. We're going to do the matching and the standard format if people want to do that. If not, they can bring whatever.
Booster draft or whatever.
We'll sort of leave it up to the group that night. And it's supposed to be sort of newbie friendly and kid friendly and that kind of thing. And instead of giving – one of the big changes we're making is prize support. Instead of giving it to like the top three, we'll be giving it sort of randomly out. So when you show up, if you're just getting stomped every week and you don't get the prize support, that's no fun. So the notion is to come in, play with somebody who's your level, enjoy the game, and then some people go home with prize support.
Right. I think that's going to be cool.
And that starts this Friday. It starts at 7 o'clock, although showing up at 6:45 is a good idea just to make sure we have time to start everything. Runs till 10 p.m. If you've never played Magic but you're curious about it, it'd be a good time to come out for it. Or if you just want to come and watch, it's kind of like people do with our D&D encounters. All the info on that is on our website and our Facebook page, and we're hoping to get a group going again and get our Friday Night Magic going and be sort of an alternative for people who don't want to play the cutthroat magic.
Yeah, and this is particularly the time for people to come on out.
So it's a big week for news.
Yes,
we have like 12 or 13 items to get through here.
Yep, lots of movie news, lots of stuff. What is it from Emerald City Comic Con?
Yep. Although I don't even have that much from Emerald City, but I think some stuff got timed around that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna run through it, and if we run long this time, we may not do topics this week. We may skip that at the end of the show. We'll see how we're doing as we get later in. But for now, we're going to dive into the news stuff. First news is a bit of local news, which is, Nick, you've built some more action figures.
Yes, I have. I have
some very awesome action figures.
Yeah, well, I hope they are. I think they're awesome.
Nick, when are you going to blog these things so people who are Facebook friends with you can see them?
I know, I need to do that. I need to... The last couple weeks have been very crazy, so I need to... I am going to sit down...
You've had some legit chaos in your
life. Yeah, you have.
I have, and I'm going to sit down and actually... come up with that email that we talked about last week,
sure.
And build a site and everything. It's just, yeah.
We should take a picture of all the ones you've done as like a group picture,
yeah.
And post that on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I will.
But
this is something different from, you know, you've dabbled with tweaking figures, like, you know, making taking a, like, Marvel Girl converting it, or Rachel Summers and converting it to Jean Grey.
That was sort of your big one.
That was the first one. And then I was like, well, that one I don't need anymore, so I turned it into a Spider-Gwen.
Yep.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, that's the Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, it's the same one. But yeah, now I've started doing major redos and stuff like that.
You're Frankensteining figures together.
Yep.
You're
just sculpting on new stuff.
And last week we talked about you taking commissions on that kind of stuff.
Yep.
We talked about your Lady Shiva.
Yep, and I've got a few more commissions. I'm very excited to do an Orson Randall.
For Iron Fist.
Right now, just to sort of got into an Iron Fist mood, I'm doing an original Danny Rand, so with the high collar.
Nice.
And, just for the fun of it, because that's my favorite version of that costume. But I also did a Black Agar Boltagon.
Yes.
Which I just love saying that name.
Sure.
But Black Bolt from the King
Black
of
Bolt
the
to
Inhumans.
You civilians.
Exactly.
That Black Bolt turned out great.
Yeah,
you haven't finished his arm wings, right?
No, I need to do the wings, and I've got to figure out exactly how to do that. I have some ideas.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. And
you also did one of your favorite characters. The Punisher.
Yes, I have done the Punisher as well.
Because that one had a little bit of a glitch, but I believe
I did. I've gone into a second... Yeah, basically, Black Bolt and Punisher both have .2s.
Yeah.
Because I screwed up on them at the beginning. And that's okay. This is a learning process, but I think I've really liked how they've come out.
Yeah.
And the big one that I'm going to try to do, which is sort of the next step, if I can do it, is the new Sam Wilson Captain America.
Oh, very cool.
Which is a lot of sculpting, and I've got to figure out how to do the giant wings and backpack and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy labor to undertake.
But no,
that was Hercules' 13th labor.
His 13th labor was making an action figure.
There's a lot of places that do custom action figures, and I've seen them over the years, and I've always found them cool, and I think I finally decided just what the heck, see what I can do, and I've liked what's come out of it so far, and I can see it getting better already, so... Yeah, like I said, if you are interested in doing this, just give me an email at sarcastro66@gmail.com, and we'll talk about things.
So, out of curiosity, Nick, I know that you've been primarily doing superhero stuff, and a lot of the figures you have to work with are from that, but what if somebody were to say, such and such from Rat Queens, or something like that? Would you be...
Yeah, I could...
Would you be game?
Yeah, I'd be game for doing
anything. Just curious.
That.
Just throwing stuff
anything.
At you.
Anything.
Need to make that Marco and... Alana? No.
Alana.
Are they the couple?
From Saga.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be really cool.
That'd be cool. Anyway, if you like a custom action figure, even a non-superhero one, Nick can do anything.
I'll try.
Nick is, in fact, an action figure wizard, so... all right, so we have one bit of... A lot of our stuff is comic-adjacent news. This one is specifically comic news. They have revealed the Free Comic Book Day for Marvel. One of the offerings they have is the all-new, all-different Avengers. They've revealed who the Avengers are, and they reveal the creative team.
This makes me so excited.
Should we just reel off the list?
Yeah, so here's the list. Iron Man, unknown Iron Man. It's not superior. Looks like a classic red and gold. Sam Wilson, Cap. The Vision. Lady Thor. Miss Marvel, the new one. Miles Morales, and the new Nova. And... The creative team.
The new Nova. What's his
Sam?
Sam.
What is his last name?
I don't remember his last name.
Sam.
Yeah. There's two Sams on the Avengers.
There are. Yeah, because Sam Wilson and Sam Nova.
Fantastic.
And the creative team is written by Mark Waid with art by Mahmoud Azrar.
Which I think Azrar was good when he was doing Dynamo 5. He's only accepted.
He's gotten even better, yeah.
So I'm really excited.
I'm very excited about this. I think this is a great lineup of characters. It's going to be a free issue, which is especially cool.
I think I really just like it because Sam is Sam Wilson.
Yeah.
All new Captain America is sort of the rock of the team.
Yeah.
And taking all these sort of young upstarts, other than the Vision, and you can say whatever version the Vision has.
Right. Well, the Vision's been, yeah, he's, I mean, when he, the last time I saw him, he was in Young Avengers and he was a new version.
Hypothetically, I feel like the Vision should be old guard. He should feel a little bit like Martian Manhunter
is to Justice League. Sure. Yeah.
So if he's not that, it's a little disappointing, but Mark Waid, I know, has sympathies to that, but he may also find some new take on it that's clever.
Mark Waid has done Daredevil and S.H.I.E.L.D., so I pretty much have implicit trust in him at Marvel right now.
And I think it's just going to be...
Let's not forget his sucky Hulk run.
I liked that Hulk run.
No, I know. It just wasn't as inspired.
It was not as inspired.
It's a great group of people, and you can see sort of their pluses and minuses, because, you know, they're really new characters, like Miss Marvel and Nova, who are as well tested, and then you have all new Thor. And
I believe Dave and I are both in the same place where, because it's Waid, and because we like these characters, we're interested.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite feel Avengers-y.
No, yeah. So my naysayer side of me is only that this looks more like the new Warriors than the Avengers.
Yeah.
I generally think of Avengers as a place for almost exclusively for adult heroes. So
see, the thing
Nova being in there, Miss Marvel being in there, I don't like it all.
It's that front lineup, the back lineup that has Iron Man, Lady Thor, Cap and Vision, that feels like an Avengers
lineup. Actually, all of those I like, and because there will be some solid grounding in classic Avengers with that, I'm certainly willing, and because it's Mark Waid.
Yeah.
More than anything, because it's Mark Waid, I'm willing to give those guys a shot.
Just for fun, on the cover, there is a villain that they're all, like, racing against, and you just see a green hand.
Really?
It's like a radiating green hand. It looks like they're fighting like Radioactive Man.
Which maybe. That'd be a weird small villain, but...
Well, Mark Waid, I could see wanting to reinvent him or something. Maybe it's Titanium Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's...
Could be Loki with a green
hand. Some dude with a green glove on.
Yep.
All right.
Could be Kang.
Okay.
Could be Lord Green Glove.
Yes. Oh, Lord Green Glove. Yeah. From the Defenders in the 70s.
Probably so.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm guessing.
Yeah, I remember when Son of Satan fought Lord Greenglove.
So jumping over to sort of internet-y stuff, there is a great viral video that is out there with some of the cast of The Flash, Jesse L. Martin, and the guy who plays Cisco, and the guy who plays Eddie Thawne, doing a perfect a cappella of the Serenity Ballad from Joss Whedon's Firefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This comes out because Jesse L. Martin is a Broadway musical star. He was in Rent.
That's right.
And he is kickstarting a Western musical kind of thing.
Hmm.
I believe it's closed by now. If not, it's like within one day. But he's doing a Kickstarter for this musical, and Joss Whedon donated a certain amount and asked them to do that. As his perk was for them to do the Serenity song, and it's great. It's 2-minute thing. It's really fun.
When I first heard about this, I just thought it was just something that they did on some lark. Like I didn't know about the Kickstarter thing. I thought they did it just because they were fans or something. And so I sort of expected the video to be kind of like goofy, like them just goofing around.
Yeah.
But instead I was like, oh, they're actually, I mean, it is just them sitting around.
Yeah.
It's not like some highly produced
thing. They're just sitting in a hotel room.
I'm like, oh, the production they did of it, and their voices are great.
Their voices are great. I was really impressed.
And, I don't know if, did Whedon take any flack for that song being a little bit kind of, I don't know, slightly cheesy?
I think he did. So I've heard people say that. Those people are wrong, because I like that.
Did he write it with his wife?
I don't know.
Or his brother.
Or his
brother. It's very sincere, but it could sound. I can understand why it could sound a little bit hokey. But this delivery is so particularly sincere and well done that I was like, oh, that was like really touching, you know.
It's and really
I
felt, good.
I bet that was very validating for him.
Yep. Also on the internets, there is an anime that's been making the rounds, and they finally finished it. It's a little 7-minute short.
Star Wars.
The TIE Fighters. Specifically, it's a big it's a big battle between anime style between some Star Destroyers and some Rebel Cruisers and X-Wings TIE Fighters, Y-Wings,
A-Wings.
A-Wings.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a big battle.
Right. It'd be the equivalent of sort of like the end scene in Return of the Jedi minus the Death Star.
Yep.
But it's sort of like a sneak attack from the Empire.
Yeah.
It's clearly just an action piece, but...
There's no dialogue.
And it's probably inspired by and has some of the rock and music, you know, electric guitars of sort of 80s anime.
Yeah.
I've heard it, in, you know, linked to, like, Robotech and some of the other ones.
It feels like to me this fell from another universe where Japan, where Star Wars got really big in Japan for a while, and they made an anime, and it just got brought it over. And I want to see the rest of that anime.
But I guess the point is, it's super badass.
It's super cool. I mean, I love Rebels. I love Clone Wars. I think that they've done really good stuff with the animation. But I wish this existed for real, because I want the whole series. Because it focuses on the TIE fighter pilots. Like, there's a female pilot in the bomber.
Yep.
There's an older guy and an interceptor. It's sort of... You get a little sense of there's a kid, that this was a like a TIE fighter squadron story.
Right. It's great. I like an action sequence that suggests a story.
Yeah, yeah.
And... they get some great moments. Like, the stuff she does with the TIE bomber is really cool, even though you never really get to see that do cool stuff in the movies. I mean, you get to... And because it has that sort of anime attention to detail that you often see in, like, vehicles and stuff like that, and the tech side of things, when they, like, you know, get in the cockpit of the TIE fighters, I'm like, it looks insanely detailed, and... you actually see them, you know, like, when they pull a lever, it'll, like, you know, sort of do a little cutaway view of the interior of the ship, and you'll see what it's doing as it powers up some engine, and it looks great. I mean, it looks like, and it doesn't even look like just some random made-up stuff. It looks like it could be official Star Wars.
Yeah. And it's just, this is the kind of thing, I'm kind of surprised they've never done it in all the expanded universe.
Yeah.
This looks like a story.
Lucas didn't commission an anime?
Yeah. Well, no, this looks like a story from the point of view of the commander of a Star Destroyer and his elite TIE fighter squadron.
Yeah.
And they win. I mean, it's definitely the imperial point of view.
If you are an Empire fan, I'll say this. Nobody gets pumped.
No, no, the Rebels look badass.
The Rebels get to do some really cool stuff, but this isn't a special shout-out to fans of the Empire.
Yeah.
You're going to get to see the Empire shine.
Yeah, it's very cool. I was really impressed.
You know what else I liked is that you see a lot of ship skirmishing, you know, and dogfight stuff, and then, like, kind of, like, once they've kind of cleared the path, the big heavy-duty capital ships start powering up.
Yeah.
And there's a real sense of the difference between the weapon levels, going on with that. And I felt like this is the kind of staging that I'd like to see in the next movie.
You know,
it was as good as some of the best stuff from the original Lucas
movie. Agreed. It's a great sort of space dogfight. Next up, we're talking about some trailers. The trailer for Maggie...
Right, we just quick watched
that. Which is a new zombie movie, sort of.
Or upcoming zombie movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
That looks like it's trying to somewhat break from Schwarzenegger's traditional just stomping, ass-kicking genre.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of sort of what Bruce Willis did in Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
And it looks like Last of Us to some extent, you know? With the guy and his daughter and the zombie. She's zombie infected.
It seems like there's a zombie plague, overrunning the Earth. And but with a known stages of infection that are more prolonged.
There's like a military quarantine or something.
Right, like people will start to show signs of being infected, and then you maybe have days or weeks even before they fully zombie out.
Yeah.
There's no point in this trailer where you like see the screaming zombies. It's a quiet kind of trailer.
It's almost more art house.
Right. Yeah. And it looks like, and you know, they were like flashing up, you know, the quotes were like Schwarzenegger is astonishing.
Yeah. From the Toronto Film Festival. I mean, it looks like this may be his bid for
an attempt to kind of reinvent himself.
Yeah.
Sort of Sylvester Stallone Copland style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example.
What's
too
funny is we're getting full on action Schwarzenegger this summer in Terminator Genesis. So,
And, you know, I would not be surprised if there's some action in this as well.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It's
going to
be of a different variety.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be doing the one-liners.
No, it doesn't look like it.
And it looked pretty serious. It looked like
it was ripe for come with me if you want to live.
You know, it looks like very much about the love between a father and his daughter, who he looks like he's going to lose.
And it's Abigail Breslin playing his daughter, by the way.
Who is that?
She was in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yep.
And she was she the girl in True Grit? No.
No, that was Haley Stanfield.
That's Haley Stanfield.
Am I wrong? Was she in the remake of Let the Right One In?
No, that's Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, that's, okay.
Yeah, no, Abigail Breslin, most notably from Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
She has been in other things.
She's been in other stuff.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's hard to quite tell from the trailer because there's so little to it, like if it's going to be legit or not. But just sort of based on the presentation of it and, some of those quotes and stuff, I was like,
Huh.
I'll have to keep an eye on
it. It's enough that I'll probably see it whenever it comes out. Yeah. We don't know. There's no date on it.
I would like to see a good kind of heartfelt zombie indie movie, which is what it seems to maybe be.
I've shuttled it over into my trailer blockade. I don't need to see any more.
Yeah.
Speaking of trailer blockade, the teaser for James Bond Spectre went up, and I'm trying...
You held off.
I'm trying a whole new level...
I did. I'm trying
a whole new level of trailer blockade. I'm not even going to watch the teaser.
Right.
I know I'm going to see it. I don't need to see anything. I don't want to know anything about it.
So we're not going to discuss it.
Okay.
We can discuss it.
You just say whether you liked it.
There's actually so little to it.
Yeah.
It's such a mood piece that, there's like, it's one of those ones, actually not unlike the trailer for Maggie, Randy, where nothing is really shown. People say sort of portentous things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not going to forget this. I just made that up. But
sure.
That kind of thing.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, interesting. I don't know what that means, but it sounds ominous.
Yeah.
It looked good. Like, I mean,
I'm excited.
I wasn't like... I don't know if I can put myself in the excited category yet, but...
I'm excited because I enjoyed Skyfall.
That's what I was going to say. Where were you guys on the last couple of James Bond movies? I know Quantum of Solace is generally regarded as pretty bad.
Mediocre.
Yeah.
I loved the first one with Daniel Craig.
Yeah, that
was, Casino Royale? I like it quite a bit. I don't quite love it. There's a few things glitches I have with it, but I like it quite a bit. I own it.
Quantum of Solace is
mediocre. On the other hand, I don't know if there's a single James Bond movie I unreservedly love.
No, I don't know if there is for me either.
Honestly,
even Goldfinger.
Right. Casino Royale may be the closest there is.
Yeah. I've seen it more than most, I think.
I think it excites me because Sam Mendes is back.
Yeah.
You know, still Daniel Craig.
If you know the title, and we've talked about this before, in some way, shape, or form, it's going to reinvent Spectre.
They've cast the bad guy for Spectre, and I know that, and that's great.
Yeah.
Who's the bad guy?
I don't remember anymore. Is it Christoph Waltz?
It's Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
That should be great.
Who's going to be great?
But Skyfall kind of left me a little cold because I guess I weirdly was in the mood for like classic sexy Bond spy gadgets and things like that.
And Skyfall was deconstructionist.
It was him hiding inside like a beat up old house with a blunderbuss.
That was only part of it. That was like the last part of it.
But he was also stripped of all his tech.
Yeah. It was very much
a back to basics type.
Yeah.
Well, it was about sort of a dark mirror of him.
Javier Bardem is the bad guy.
Javier Bardem's bad guy was supposed to be a dark mirror of James Bond, basically.
Yeah. What I found is that as I thought about it afterwards, I think I actually liked it better, like maybe kind of knowing what it was going to be. It's on my to rewatch list.
Oh, you haven't rewatched it?
I haven't gone back.
Oh, because the first time I saw it, I had much the same reaction. I was like, I didn't really like that. And then I went back and rewatched it. I liked it a whole lot more in a second viewing.
Sometimes I gotta like know what I'm getting into.
Yeah. I love Daniel Craig's sort of more blunt force Bond.
I do love him as Bond.
You know, I like his portrayal, but the idea of Bond being a blunt force, I think, is actually weirdly very. It's anathema to Bond. It seems very wrong for him. It's more
physicality instead of.
It's almost like turning Bond into a superhero, which weirdly goes counter to their kind of grittier approach. I just feel like, why would a spy be such a blunt force? You know, that's the exact opposite of what a spy is.
Sometimes you have to have all the tools in the tool belt.
But that said, what they've done with it has been good.
Yeah.
So.
I watched a little bit of Skyfall yesterday just out of randomness, and that fight scene when they're in the glass, the room full of different panes of glass and just sort of the shadows.
Yeah.
Such a fantastic, well shot.
It's funny, I can't recall it, so I can see it again.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, isn't it?
I think it is.
I mean, I have it on Blu-ray, but I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix.
I have it on Blu-ray as well. But I think it is on Netflix, although it might be going off of it soon,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that does happen. All right, so some TV news, comic-related TV news. Lazarus, which I believe we've talked about on this podcast.
We really should.
The Greg Rucka,
Greg Rucka's Lazarus,
Dystopian future, the 1% is in charge.
Yeah.
Kind of said it's right for a television adaptation,
and it is going to TV.
Yeah,
they have not said where, and I really hope it's on like HBO or Showtime. It's got to be on pay cable.
Yeah, you can't pull your punches with this.
No, you could maybe make it work on like AMC or FX, but it's not going to be as good.
I was going to say, I think you could probably do it with AMC or FX.
You could.
You know, I feel like it could potentially be another Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
if it was on HBO.
Yeah, exactly. But this is—they don't have a network attached. It's just being—you know—they're developing it, so this may never go anywhere.
Right.
But this is—it's Lazarus the TV is a great idea, and it's been picked up for development. That's great. Also, some casting news. We've talked about that. What we're calling Brave and the Bold, we don't know what they're calling it yet. The Flash Arrow team up spinoff show.
It's either World's Finest or Brave and the Bold. That's what. That's the only option. Gotta be.
So they've cast a couple more people. Arthur Darvill, aka Rory from Doctor Who, is Rip Hunter Time Master,
which is awesome.
You know, we were while Flash has been, you know, been dabbling with time travel stuff, yeah. Which by the way I'm still an episode behind.
We were speculating Harrison Wells possibly being Rip. Yeah, that was one of my that was my out there theory that, that
theory,
I didn't actually believe.
Little did you know Rory was
yeah.
That was a fun idea. Yeah. And it turns out you were at least on the right track in that Rip Hunter. You know, I mean, part of your guesswork was you know Geoff Johns has a fondness for him, and sure enough, he turns up.
Honestly, there's no I didn't really think Rip Hunter was going to show up in the TV universe. I'm kind of shocked by this.
I'm more excited about the other
shocked at this point. There's like Firestorm was right out of the gate.
Yeah, Rip Hunter Time Master, man. That's pretty out there. That's like one step from Cave Carson.
They did Peekaboo, Randy.
Yeah, they did Peekaboo. That's a Flash villain. Anyway, I'm very excited by this. I think that's really cool. And they also cast someone I don't know, Clara Rentz?
I recognize her from something.
Something like that. Clara Renee, thank you. I can't read my own writing. Renee as Hawkgirl, and she looks great.
Yeah.
She looks the part.
This is one I haven't seen. So this is going to be from the Brave and the Bold show.
Same thing, they cast Hawkgirl for it.
I did not know that. Wow, they're going to. This is a hardcore team up show. I thought they were going to kind of like just keep it to like those like four or five people.
Clearly not. No, they said there's going to be three heroes we haven't seen before. So Rip Hunter, Hawkgirl, and we have one more.
Some sort of weird unofficial team, or just a bunch of different stories.
No idea. Captain Cold and Heatwave are both in it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I assume they're going to be the villains.
I'm wondering if it's going to be sort of a anthology show about the DC universe on TV.
That'd be
if they'll
cool.
jump around different places. I mean, they could use Rip Hunter
DC
as sort of the
presents kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Give us Starman. But give us Starman.
Who's our third character? We have a third character. So Rip Hunter and Hawkgirl. They said there would be three characters have not been on TV before.
Oh,
so Rip Hunter and Hawkgirl are two of them. The other one, Booster Gold.
See, I don't think you need Booster Gold if you've got Rip Hunter. You know what I mean?
But it would also make sense to have them together if you want to have a couple of guys time traveling.
And Booster Gold was his operative in the Geoff Johns series.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't know. But we have one more reveal coming before that all hits, but sounding good to me so far.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really excited to see how they do Hawkgirl on television.
Yeah. They did her in Smallville. I think it's generally...
They did a Hawkman.
A Hawkman, yeah.
Was he actually in it, or was he just like kind of in the background?
No, he was actually in it.
He was a major character.
But yeah, I think they could like probably CG the wings and do cool stuff like that.
Yep.
Do a giant gorilla. They can do wings.
Some other non-comics TV news. The X-Files.
Right.
Is getting a revival.
Right, which we knew, but I think we found out that there's going to be the specific format, which, what network?
It's
six
episodes, it's on Fox.
Yeah, it's that they're doing a six episode, which is kind of
got David Duchovny, it's got Gillian Anderson.
Yep.
Is it a reimagining, or is
no,
it
it's a revival.
So basically it's what they're doing, what they did with 24, They'll Live Another Day.
Yes, I think that's sort of what we're doing. And if we get that, that'd be great. If we get
some who played Skinner? Did I hear that he was
Mitch Pelleggi? I have not heard any of that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, I thought I heard that he and maybe got his
cigarette-smoking man.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, William B. Davis.
It's not like he actually smoked all those cigarettes.
It was acting, Dave. It was acting.
Actually, I very specifically remember reading that he smoked, like, herbal cigarettes because he didn't smoke, and so he hated all the cigarettes he had to smoke for that show.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
That's awesome.
And then there's another revival.
By the way, you know, on that, I was joking about this on Facebook, but I actually kind of would love for them to do this just because The X-Files was so often about sort of... The most pyrrhic of victories. That kind of is what Scully and Mulder had.
Yeah,
I would like for this to be something that, in some way, hands them like a big victory.
Yeah,
you know, like a major something major is exposed to the public, and it becomes a known thing, whether it's aliens or something, and then sets up follow up miniseries where maybe because of that big boom, they end up promoted to more or less the position Skinner was in before.
Well. This is the best fan idea I saw, and we don't know this isn't what they're going to do, but the best fan idea I saw was that basically Scully would be in the position of sort of the cigarette-smoking man. She'd be the government cover-up person, and Mulder would be essentially what his father – he'd be the deep throat.
Yeah, yeah.
For a couple of new agents. I thought that was interesting. The other thing is
pit against each other?
Yes. I think that'd be really interesting.
I'd rather have them both working at the top, but arguing over methodology and things like that.
All I know is I would love to see direct Skinner was like the assistant director. I would love to see if Skinner is like the director,
yeah,
and like and Scully has become like the assistant director, and Mulder is still off running his X-Files or something. I'm hoping they'll do some status quo changes.
I do think that
two of them are still in the field.
Yeah, it'd be weird because you know like agents. They get promoted.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just work in the field forever.
Although, if you're doing a project nobody loves,
you
could see the two of them have been shuffled off.
I can see that.
But I hope they don't. I hope that they give them a little bit of something that's going on.
I was thinking, I mean, there's just looking at, like, news from, like, the last 10 or 15 years. From airline disappearances to those sinkholes in Russia.
Yep.
There's a lot of just stuff that they could mine if they want for their storylines.
Absolutely.
Lots of strange explanations for things that we all experienced.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this, especially after 24 Live Another Day gave us exactly what we wanted out of 24.
Yeah, that's true. What was that, 12 episodes?
12 episodes.
Yeah.
I like the shortened episode thing, too. I think that's the don't bite off more than you can chew. If it goes well, do more.
Yep.
There's also talk of an Alien Nation remake. But a remake, not a revival. This is a remake.
Right. This is a in movie, though,
I believe,
right?
It's a movie, yes.
Yeah, because there was a TV thing at one point like 5 years ago, but that didn't pan out.
Right.
You have to have James Caan show up.
And that's more the DC tradition of acknowledging it. It's probably best to just...
The thing is, we rewatched Alien Nation recently. I think we talked about that on the podcast, and we liked it.
Yeah.
And I think it's ripe for a remake, honestly.
I think just looking at the track record of things like RoboCop and Total Recall remakes... There is something lacking.
It's
going to
sort of file off all the edges.
Some of the fun, honestly, of the 80s. But because the central metaphor is essentially one for immigration, obviously.
It's pretty notable
right now. The time is ripe. And so I'd like to get somebody who's not going to be too heavy-handed, a.k.a. not the Blomkamp.
Blomkamp,
guy.
Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah. But who can have some fun, but who will dive into the serious stuff, who will dive into the metaphor.
Yeah. I, like you, I'm very skeptical, but I can see a version where we're working.
Well, when I think about, like, say, what – I mean, obviously this is the best-case scenario, but what, like, Brad Bird did with the last Mission Impossible, a series that didn't have particularly strong legs at that point.
Yeah.
And really reinvented it as something fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind something like that.
Yeah. There's been a big casting news on The Daily Show.
Right. What's the guy's name? It's John Stewart's successor.
Trevor Noah, who is a South African. He's born from a South African mother and American father, something like that.
Father, I watched it a little bit last night. Father is German.
Yes.
Mother's
South African.
South African, yes.
Okay. So, and he's been a comedian and radio personality in his own – in South Africa, I gather. Yep. And he's done – 3 segments on The Daily Show.
Yep.
So he's a pretty newbie. But what he's been on, I've liked.
Yep.
He's a funny guy, sort of got sort of a dry sense of humor.
Yeah, I watched my cousin posted a video last night that showed a lot of clips of him, and so I watched some of his stand-up and some of his clips from Daily Show, and it looked good.
He's a younger guy.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably a good thing.
Did you catch that there's been some controversy?
Why?
Because he posted some, what I guess I would say, non-politically correct tweets, like a year or two back. It's stuff, just at a glance, I was thinking, this sounds like sort of typical raunchy comedian stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, he made some joke about, like, behind every successful rapper is, like, I don't know if it was, like, a Jewish producer or something like that. Stuff that stepped into territory that people are like, was that anti-Semitic? Was that too anti-Semitic?
Was that just a bit of
light industry humor? You know,
I have a feeling, given that he's working with Jon Stewart, that he might not be anti-Semitic. I'm not going to say that for sure, but...
There's already been, like I just now noticed this today, that this was... I was like... Yeah. There are articles that are like, you know, new host steps into hot water right out of the gate.
That's probably just people looking for clicks.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah. I'm honestly, I was hoping for Aisha Tyler. But I understand that was never going to happen. And I think Trevor Noah looks – it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see what he does with the show.
Yeah. I don't have – like I'll need to see more to form my opinion of him. But what I saw from his comedy looks good.
Well, all I know is the last time we got a sub in for Jon Stewart, we got John Oliver.
Yeah.
If we can get anywhere near that good, I'll be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Finally, we have a little bit of movie news. Ready Player One, which I've read.
I have not read.
You've not read. But we both liked.
Yeah, we did.
And that is getting a director in Steven Spielberg. which is pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
Well, he probably was directly or indirectly responsible for about probably half the references that made. Mm-hmm.
More or less.
He produced or directed or wrote or whatever.
Really, if you get Spielberg to direct and Whedon to write the script or something, you'd nail about, 90% of it,
That guy must be over the moon at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not only is his book super successful, but Spielberg wants to make a movie out of it.
The thing is, I can see a version of this movie that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
But I can also see a version that would be great. And I hope that Spielberg can deliver.
What's been Spielberg's... Did he direct Lincoln?
Yeah.
What else has he made? What has he done? What was his last popcorn movie?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Was there...
I mean, the last one I remember was
some Jurassic Park
Minority Report, which I know was not the last one he did.
Right. Now, I feel like he's produced stuff.
Yeah.
He did Crystal Skull.
Okay, not helping.
Produced.
Not helping.
Did he just produce? That's right.
I don't know.
He didn't direct Crystal Skull?
I'm pretty sure he directed Crystal Skull.
I think he did.
I'd say, but that one was a crazy project that had all its own momentum. I can't even fully blame them for that.
No, I can't blame him for that. Everybody
wanted it, and it just came together as a mess.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling he has it in him probably to make this. And I say that having not read the book, but I think he probably still has the chops to pull this off.
I do, too. I have some faith. Like I said, I can see a bad version, but in general, it seems like a potentially good version.
Yep.
All right. That is our huge lineup of news for the week. We'll be back in just a few seconds with our listener question for the week. All right, we have listener questions this week, and we've got several. Thank you for putting questions up on Facebook.
Yeah, we should do this every week.
For emailing, we're going to try and do that every week. We're not going to take all those questions. We're going to save some of those questions because, A, this is a huge week, and we want to get to comic stock, and, B, we've got a couple banks, so we're gonna hit up a couple quick questions.
But I guess we should say, if you don't hear your question, don't panic. We'll get around to it.
So thank you for your questions. And as always, if you ask a question and you are here in the store or going to be at the store, you will get a bonus comics pack. We need to make one for Allie for last week.
Yes.
And we will get a comics pack for one of our questioners. The other one of our questioners, of course, is in Japan, and that's going to be a little harder. And, so I'm going to go ahead and take that question first.
Okay.
Our question from Japan. You guys might've seen the Hot Toys Avengers we have in the store. That we put up there that Nick has posed. Those come from our good friend, friend of mine named Toshi out in Japan, who writes for Kotaku, among other things. And he sent me those. And he sent us a question, which I'm sure has been burning in the brains of many of you. And that question is, dear Rogues Gallery crew, what on earth is that loud beep in the background of almost every podcast?
I imagine we probably mentioned this once.
Once, yes.
When we first started podcasting, this podcast, like some... What, months ago?
Yeah.
A year ago?
A few months ago.
It was.
I want to say it's the Doomsday Clock. If you don't hear it, it's a bad thing.
You smell toast burning.
Does the Doomsday Clock cause a stroke?
Yes, it does.
We record from in the store to enable us to do this podcast.
Yes.
And we're in the office where that beep goes off every time the door opens.
Yeah, it is
in the sales floor.
It is our indicator. When the back door opens, so we know when a door opens, if someone came in.
Yeah.
And so whenever that happens, someone has come in the front and Amanda is up front having to deal with customers.
Yep. And we thank people for their tolerance and patience for it.
We can actually turn it off.
Right.
But then we forget to turn it back on and that's a problem.
But
just imagine it's the dead clock.
I bet we could do that. We should look into it.
We might remember. We can. We did.
We just forgot to turn it back on.
We forgot to turn it back on, and we've forgotten to turn it off.
All that takes is one incident of us talking and speaking in rude language and realizing a customer has walked in without us knowing it, and then we're embarrassed back into turning it back on.
Not sure that's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't think that was the problem.
Okay, anyway. Or I'll make a little note before we start each podcast that says, turn on the damn thing, and then I'll...
We might, yes, at some point. You also might have heard a general ringing, which is the phone that's back here.
Yeah. Or just occasional weird other random noises.
Yes.
People shuffling around, doors opening.
Yep.
Things tipping.
Yep. But that is the answer to that question, and that was a thing we needed to address anyway, so thanks, Toshi, for the question. I will not be able to get you a prize pack as you are a little far away. All right, our other question for this week comes from one of our regulars, Craig Puckett, and we will get you a prize pack, Craig.
Yep.
And he says, Would like to hear your take on the Axel Alonso tweet that mentioned a shared X-Men universe and people connecting that to earlier rumors of the X-Men being sidelined. Now, there's a story up on Newsarama about that says X-Men will have a surprise New World Shared Universe Post-Secret Wars Extraordinary New Team. So here's what Axel Alonso, who is the editor-in-chief of Marvel, said. The X-Men office is taking the opportunity of Secret Wars to build an entire new world for the characters, to create a shared universe within the X-Books that's set off by a huge event incident surprise. At that point, they're going to introduce a new team that feels unlike anything you've seen before. It'll be, in quotes, extraordinary. Now, I assume that means that they're going to be calling the book The Extraordinary X-Men.
That sounds like the kind of, just the kind of punning that they would do in a tweet about that.
And now people are speculating, and I don't think this is the craziest speculation in the world, that possibly they're going to put the X-Men off to the side in their own universe, not part of the Marvel universe.
Right. Sort of effectively what happens when you make a, often when they were making movies originally, these before the big Marvel shared universe, when they made an X-Men movie, it was basically they were the only superheroes in that world.
Well, and that's absolutely what it is. It is mimicking the movies where the X-Men are all off in their own world, and there are no X-Men in the Marvel universe.
Right.
Because there can't be, because they belong to different companies. Yeah. I know, Dave, you're not a big fan of this in general.
Correct.
I think this might be okay because they're trying to make the Inhumans a thing.
Yep.
And if the mutants are around, the Inhumans are never going to be the thing they want them to be.
Correct.
Because they're going to be the also-rans.
My problem is that I'm not particularly on board the Inhumans thing. Like, I don't hate it or anything, but it is clearly an attempt to go around the mutants.
Yeah.
You know, which could have just... They could have used that explanation in S.H.I.E.L.D. and the movies for the superpowers rise, but they're clearly not going to because... It is indeed a separate license.
My other, and to be honest, yes, in an ideal world, this is not what I'd want.
No.
But the reason I can be okay with it is I'm kind of tired of Avengers and X-Men being crossing over with one another. I'm tired of Wolverine being in every Marvel book.
Right.
I would like there to be a bit more of a line of demarcation between those two teams.
That is a silver lining to it. And I think that the X-Men often, because they often have somewhat functioned off on their own.
Yeah.
You know, I like the idea that you know, Cyclops can occasionally meet Captain America,
sure.
Or that they can contact the Fantastic Four. But the same way Batman often operates on his own, separate from the Justice League and all of that, you know, it's not like he calls them in to help with the Joker. I feel like the X-Men can operate pretty strongly in their own universe, and you don't have that problem that they do in the comics that was always been the problem with X-Men, of saying that people are like hate. Mutants and they're terrified of them, but somehow they're okay with the Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, why would Thor not, you know, you're scared of Wolverine, but not Thor. Okay, I guess personality-wise, I can sort of get that.
No, but it does make sense. You can do the anti-mutant hysteria more because it's not like, oh, we're scared of these superpowers, but not these superpowers.
Right.
No, we're scared of everyone with superpowers. That makes more sense.
Yeah, they'll be scared of everybody.
So, I'm okay with this if they do it, and I think that is probably what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised. That's a pretty big move for Marvel.
It is, but they've been, you know, because of the movie stuff, they've been sort of about the big moves and somewhat thoughtful planning of them.
Yeah.
Well, they've thought that, I mean, a lot of people have thought they're basically X-Men is going to get sidelined, and so is Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But they're completely snubbed.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen.
If only
because X-Men is so popular.
We already know what's going to happen to the FF, or for some of them.
Yeah, did they tell them what's in the Secret Wars?
Yeah, at ECC, they revealed that Johnny Storm is actually going to be joining one of the Inhuman books.
Oh, that's a little weird.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, he was married to...
Crystal, that's true.
And he's got a lot of ties
with them. The Inhumans,
really,
you know, were introduced in Fantastic Four.
That's true.
So that sort of makes sense. But is the FF book going away? Is that...
The FF book did go away.
It is going away. And actually, I don't think sidelining X-Men is a bad thing. I think people are rushing to judgment a little bit. I know on my Facebook feed, people were freaking out.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, because they were like, we saw this before in Heroes Reborn and things like that. And I'm like, this is another time.
That was different.
Marvel has really... progressed a lot in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it is unfair to saddle them with mistakes of old.
And also, I just think the talent that they have for these books is really good.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to, you know, make fun or try to do away with the X-Men. They're too many good characters.
Here's a question. Are they going to relaunch the X-Men, like, at a ground zero? Or are they going to, in some way, have, like, is it just going to be like they go off to some other Earth? Or reinvented on this other Earth?
I would imagine Ground Zero.
I was actually thinking more of the second thing.
Really?
Because you don't want to get to the ultimate problem. where all you're doing is redoing the Dark Phoenix saga again and doing the first meeting of Wolverine and Cyclops again. You want to have that history.
I was going
to
say, yeah, in a weird way, the one thing that they could do that would kill my interest in any X-Men stuff at all would probably be a complete reboot.
On the other hand, if they want to bring Wolverine back from death, a complete reboot is the easiest way to do it.
Maybe they won't.
I don't know.
I mean, we know he's going to come back, but his coming back could be some effect of this relaunch, for all we know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea. I'm looking forward to it. I actually am really looking forward to it.
I am wary, but optimistic, just because Marvel's had such a strong track record lately.
I am cautiously neutral on this one, actually. I'm not particularly pessimistic about it. I'm not optimistic about it either. I'm willing to do the wait and see.
All right. Thank you for your question, Craig. And we will always take more questions here, both on Facebook, and you can email us at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. We'll be back in just a second to talk about a big week of comics. All right, this is the comics talk for the week of Wednesday, April 1st. And it's another big week.
It's a huge
first week of comics is always a big week.
Yeah. I guess not quite as big as last week, but big.
Yeah. Well, the first week of the month is always just such a big week of stuff. There's a lot of my favorites shipped that week, and that definitely happened this week. We got a lot of reprints this week.
There's a lot of reprints. There's a lot of great graphic novels.
Plus some cool toys.
And really cool toys.
So we'll start with our picks. And Dave, let's launch into your pick, which I think you did not expect to like.
Right. This is a miniseries, right?
Yeah, it's going to be three one-shots. There's Avengers Ultron Forever.
Yeah.
And that's this week's. Then there's going to be New Avengers Ultron Forever, and then there's going to be Uncanny Avengers Ultron Forever.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I believe it is a miniseries between those three, essentially.
Will the writers and stuff stay on?
Yeah, same creative team.
Okay.
It is essentially a miniseries. It's just a weird format.
They're just titling it a little bit weirdly. Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, I'm willing to roll with it. I liked it at this point. Tell me who this writer Al Ewing is before I quit.
He is doing Captain America and Mighty Avengers.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to guess is a standalone sort of Ultron miniseries.
Yeah.
One of many Ultron products that are coming out right now, and one that I think maybe is particularly designed to tickle the old school sensibilities for fans like me who don't like that newfangled Ultron, I guess. I don't know. I haven't been reading it carefully. So the premise of this is that sometime in the future, a mysterious person begins gathering Avengers from different time periods.
Yep.
Should we
tell who the Doctor, who the Captain America is, because it's super cool.
Oh, okay. No, I was wondering if I should say who's gathering.
No, I would leave that as a mystery.
Okay. So, Captain America shows up, who you see but isn't identified early on.
In the year 20XX, so they very carefully don't tell us what it is.
It's an African-American woman who's got a variant on the classic Cap costume.
Yep.
And who we learn is the daughter of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
So she's super tough and super strong.
Yeah. Since both Jessica Jones and Luke Cage have Avengers affiliations, the idea of their kid becoming the new Captain America is actually a really neat idea.
Yeah, it is really cool. It's one of my favorite ideas from the mini was the notion of her being a future Cap.
Because she's got that sort of Luke Cage bulletproofness and stuff, I like the, she's explained, she doesn't just throw the shield, she is the shield.
Yeah, it was fun.
The villain that you see her taken down in the beginning is I don't know if this is an old school villain, he has an old school kind of goofy vibe, the Golden Skull.
I think he's just a riff on the Red Skull.
Okay, just an alternate universe thing, yeah. He's like looting some plays, and you rapidly see a lot actually occurs in this in the tradition of kind of old school comics.
Yeah.
You see several other recruits, which include
modern day Black Widow and Vision.
Yeah, let's see, who else do we have? There's the Hulk from before he joined the Avengers.
Yeah.
Iron Man as Jim Rhodes.
Rhodey Rhodes from the Secret Wars era.
Right. So like mid '80s version. Yep. Thor, we believe, from right at near the sort of tail end of Walt Simonson's 80s.
In his golden armor when he'd been cursed so his bones wouldn't heal, that kind of thing.
And lastly, the female Thor.
Yeah, Lady Thor meeting the male Thor, which is kind of fun.
Right. Now, they've met in the comic, the present comic.
Well, she's met him, but not when he's Thor.
Right.
So
and they're kind of there's interesting because they're trying not to step on each other's timeline. Yeah. Some of them start to talk about things from their past, like the Hulk has not joined the Avengers yet, so this would be like the very earliest Hulk, and somebody starts to tell him, it's like, you are destined for bigger and better things, and he's like, what, I fought the Metal Master, which of course is a relatively obscure Hulk villain who just happened to be one of the first few guys he fought.
Yeah, yeah.
I really liked the, I actually really liked the sort of dialogue in this.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a little old school, and you know, so probably some people might find it mildly hokey.
Well, and it's got Alan Davis art.
And Alan Davis art, which gives it an old school 70s, 80s look to it.
But I really liked his art here. I thought this was really good stuff.
And I thought the meeting between the two Thors was actually exceptionally good.
Yeah.
Kind of sweet even. There is a Ultron-related plot that they are having to deal with. And this moves along at such a quick clip that before the issue is done, they have roughed out their plan and sort of come up with one of those multi-tier, you guys take care of this, you guys take care of this, and you actually see it all in action. So this moves fast.
For me, the thing I liked about this is we haven't seen the old school Avengers in a while. The Avengers have become a big, sweeping group. You haven't seen them put together just a squadron of heroes and go on a mission. This felt more like the Avengers that I used to love.
Right. Where you get kind of the banter between them, you get the big action set pieces too.
Well, and it features Ultron, it features our classic villain. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of cool stuff. I would say if you're an Avengers fan and you're wanting a little more traditional Avengers, this is a great place to go for it.
Yeah, it was a very pleasant surprise.
Nick, what'd you got?
I have the zero issue for Uncanny Inhumans.
Yep.
This is Charles Soule, who's been writing the Inhuman books. And artist Steve McNiven, who is joining him on this new endeavor.
What did McNiven just do? Oh, they just worked together on Death and Wolverine.
Yeah,
team,
so
right?
Apparently they have really gotten along with each other and wanted to continue more. But this sort of sees Black Bolt sort of going out and finding Inhumans and also dealing with his relationship with Medusa, specifically their son.
Out of curiosity, because I lost track of what the deal was with Black Bolt, didn't he get killed at some point, or was that
he faked his own death.
Okay.
Basically, he released the Terra Genesis mists
across the entire world. Inhumanity.
Yeah. And then he faked his death.
And so he's going to be the lead in this.
He is.
Out of curiosity, how do they handle the narration or anything from a guy who effectively has to be mute?
Well, I mean, and you get sort of his dealings with Medusa, and this is really told. McNiven does a great job of sort of just giving you context clues through emotion and sort of body language, which is actually really good. And sort of just the way he's very blunt with Medusa.
Does he get an internal monologue or anything?
Nope.
So you're getting the visual cues and body language and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bold choice.
Yep. And also sort of. It's got some great action scenes with him going up against people who are sort of bounty hunters looking for Inhumans.
Uh-huh.
So dealing with that. And then there is a...
I think you were mentioning that. I'm like, wow, you couldn't pick a wronger guy to mess with.
Why would you go up against Black Bolt? No.
Because Black Bolt is kind of one of those guys that I tend to think of on the level of, like, people who can take on an entire team of superheroes. He can take on the whole FF himself.
He can go up against Thanos.
Yeah.
And sort of, there's another villain in here that he sort of has to deal with, and I'm not going to spoil who it is because I think it's a great reveal.
Huh.
And this also is building up Secret Wars, so it has sort of a tie-in to that.
Yeah,
mainly because of the convergences and what Black Bolt has been dealing with in that, because he was a part of the Illuminati.
Does the royal family still exist?
He is no longer king.
Okay.
Medusa is queen.
I guess the question is Gorgon in it?
No, it is. This is straight up just Black Bolt.
Because who's the guy with the karate powers?
Karnak.
Karnak died, right? Didn't he die in Inhumanity?
He may have, yes.
I think he did.
Okay.
I know Gorgon and Triton, and they're all sort of going to be in the sister book, just Inhuman.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you need to read Inhuman to read Uncanny Inhumans?
I don't think so. They do a pretty good job of giving you the what you need to know. Sort of dealing with just the relationship between Medusa and him. If you want to know why they are where they are, I mean, the Inhuman book is where it's happened.
Okay.
That sounds like that's more the Game of Thrones book and this is the solo.
Right, okay. And that's sort of what it is. But I don't think you need to, because I mean, I haven't been keeping up completely with Inhuman, and I was able to jump in learn everything I needed to, and was just sort of from there.
You know, it occurs to me, if the since the Inhumans are somewhat replacing mutants and the X-Men for in that role, calling it Uncanny Inhumans is a bit of a twist.
It is. It is twisting the knife a little bit. And I think that's probably intentional, to be honest.
It is. But I will say, Steve Inhumans' artwork is gorgeous. It always is, but
yeah,
it's on sort of the level of Death of Wolverine here. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really nice. All right, my pick this week is... Wow, we're Marvel whores this week.
Your face is a Marvel whore.
So, Star Wars, the last of the four original Star Wars books... Kanan the Last Padawan.
This is the first one that is not based on something from the original Star Wars trilogy.
Right. It is a prologue book from Star Wars Rebels.
The TV animated
TV show. It's written by Greg Weisman. You might remember as both one of the guys who runs Rebels, as well as the guy from Young Justice,
Gargoyles,
Spectacular Spider-Man, Gargoyles.
I didn't realize it was actually him writing. That explains, because we both read it and we thought it was great, too. Like, we were it was voting for our pick for all three of us.
Basically, anything great in animation... except for maybe the Batman stuff, Greg Weisman's had a hand in it.
Yeah,
right.
And I really love Rebels, and this is spinning off from it, but this is a prequel to it. So basically, Kanan is not his real name. He changed his name, and in the Rebels, he is sort of the leader of the group. He's the sort of grizzled leader of the group. This flashback to him as a teenager boy. Basically, he's a Padawan. He has a female Jedi who's his master.
And they're right in the middle of the Clone Wars.
They're smack dab in the middle of the Clone Wars. Actually, they're at the tail end of the Clone Wars.
Right.
And so it deals with him and his master and their clone troops taking a planet and interact with the locals. And his master sort of questioning the Jedi Council, which was, as Dave noted, we didn't really see that much of.
Right. I've seen a lot of Clone Wars stories that are kind of nuanced. But it's rare that his master, she voices an interesting notion, which is she felt that the Jedi allowing themselves to sort of become militarized like that, to take on the roles of generals, was
a
mistake.
Yep.
And he's like, whoa, that's going against, you know, everything, you know, from the Jedi Council.
You also get some reactions from clone troopers as well.
Yeah.
Given that, you know, that was like, I felt like when watching the prequels, there were clearly a lot of mistakes being made, and I wanted to root for the Jedi and all that, and yet they did seem to make these bad decisions. So I kind of feel like if you're going to have them make those sort of bad decisions that they made...
Someone should call you on it?
Yeah, within the fiction, it'd be nice if some people occasionally said, I wonder if we should, you know, lead whole arm, you know, millions of clone troopers to their death. You know, is that a good idea?
Yeah, but it's also got great action sequences. I love the stuff they do with the Jedi where the two of them are together. It's very sort of samurai.
Yes.
They do a sequence of the two of them sort of practicing their form, and it's where the camera pulls back... And you see them in the mountain, sort of doing
that mirrored, like sword katas.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Who's the artist again, Randy?
The artist on this is Pepe Larraz, a guy I do not
He's
know.
Flipping good art,
but the art is great. This is the book where I think we weren't sure it was going to do as well as the rest of Star Wars, and I hope it does because I loved this book. This is probably my favorite of the Star Wars books.
Something that I should maybe mention is that. I have not been following Rebels, so I was not strongly inclined to even read this.
No, we had to talk you into it.
You had to talk me into it. And it's a good thing you did, because it was great, and doesn't require knowledge of Rebels.
No, not at all, because it's a prologue.
Not that I have anything against Rebels. What little I've seen has been really good.
Yeah, but you don't need to watch Rebels to enjoy this.
If you have some notion that there was a Clone Wars, you got enough to go on.
And that's the other thing. This is a good story if you're missing the Clone Wars era stuff. This is Clone Wars era stuff.
The expanded universe, you know, the cartoons and the comics... mined in a really strong way.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I was kind of excited to see it again. I liked seeing the clone troopers and their interactions with their Jedi commanders.
Yeah. It was a great first issue. Yeah. All right. Also on my stack this week, first issues, there's the new issue from Oni of Rick and Morty, which is a show I love, and I thought Oni did a good job capturing the sense of humor and the weirdness, the twistedness.
Is Dan Harmon involved
in this at all? He's not. One of the writers, I think, is from the show, Zach Gorman, who I feel like is one of the writers on the show. But it very much captures the Rick and Morty vibe. And there's an epilogue with Summer, the daughter, that sort of presents her as possibly a badass soldier of fortune in the future, which was kind of fun. There's also the first issue of No Mercy, which is the new Image book. It's just a teenage drama, basically. It's about a bunch of teenagers going on a trip in South America, and their bus crashes, and they're going to have to survive.
Okay.
and
beautiful art by
really gorgeous art by Carlos B. McNeil. Really liked that. There is also a new issue of Hellboy and the BPRD, number 5. Brody's Ghost, Volume 6, which is a Dark Horse series I've been enjoying.
That's that's Mark Crilley's his action manga type answer, and it is the final volume, I believe.
Yes, I think it is, yep.
I lost track a little bit of these, but I've been following them, and I'm looking forward to I'm going to sit down with all 5 and...
Read the whole thing.
All six. Whatever.
Amazing Spider-Man number 17, which pits Spidey versus the Ghost, the corporate saboteur, has some great stuff with the supporting cast, especially if you've been missing, what's her name? Is Anna?
Yep.
Name? Anna. She does some great stuff in this issue.
This is the second issue of sort of like the new
post-Spider-Verse.
Post-Edge of Spider-Verse storyline or
post-Spider-Verse. I really like this issue. Worth mentioning that we got more Darth Vader number 3 in last week since we got shorted heavily last week.
Oh, right.
We do have that. Spider-Gwen number 3 is in this week, and I really liked that. And then there's also the Lumberjanes trade, which we've been long awaiting, and has finally come in. And then finally, there's a bunch of reprints this week. Vader number 1, Star Wars number 1, and Spider-Gwen number 1 are all reprinted this week.
Yeah.
Nick, what else is on your stack?
Also, as reprints, Silk number 1 is available as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very, very good.
Yep.
Other books that I have on my list is Punisher, is it 17, I'm blanking?
Yep.
Which pits Frank versus a pretty big, all new Cap.
It's on the cover.
It's on the cover. I kind of didn't want to spoil it, but whatever.
It's on the cover.
Alrighty. It was a great issue.
I really like that issue.
It's always interesting to see Frank going up against sort of a Captain America.
Yeah.
And how he handles it.
Yep.
The new, I guess it's a weekly series, Avengers Millennium.
Yeah.
It's like six weeks.
Yeah, it's a weekly. Yeah, it's a weekly. I think it's 5.
5 weeks. It's called Avengers Millennium. It's really, really fun story about Avengers versus Hydra, written by Mike Costa with art by, I can't pronounce it. It's an Italian artist, Gian D'Amico. Whatever.
Yep. Make it perfect or nothing at all, Nick.
And
exactly.
The team is very, very movie Avengers team.
It is.
Except that they added Spider-Man.
Exactly. And there is a debate between In-N-Out Burgers and 5 Guys.
Yes.
Which I think
between
is
two of the characters.
Between
Hawkeye and Spider-Man.
Hawkeye and Spider-Man, which I think is fantastic.
Nick read some excerpts and it sounds like a really fun bit.
Then I've got DC's big book, Convergence number 0, hits this week.
Yep.
Which is a kind of a prologue issue of what's about to happen.
Right. If you want to kind of know what the framework of it all, this is the one.
Yeah. The second issue of Jonathan Hickman's Dying of the Dead, which I'm really excited for. Tim Seeley does a miniseries for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think it's a one-shot.
Oh, is it a one-shot?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a one-shot entitled The Best Story Ever, which, I mean, if it's on the cover, it automatically
it has
to
be. Yeah.
And then a book, did you mention Ufology?
I did not.
A book called Ufology by James Tynion IV.
He's been doing The Woods.
Woods, and he worked with Snyder on some Batman stuff in the past. I was really liking the artwork as I flipped him through, so I was excited to check that one out. And then, of course, an original hardcover came out, Avengers Rage of Ultron, which I've been very excited for because it's Rick Remender writing and then Jerome Pina on artwork, and it's a team from Uncanny X-Force. And this one sort of is a time-traveling...
From what I've seen, is a pretty amazing artist.
Yeah, and it's a time-traveling book dealing with 3 different eras of Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Sort of fighting against the onslaught of Ultron, which...
I was going to say, I was looking at the cover, and it had the current Vision costume, but then I was looking at the back, and I'm like, oh, it's classic Vision with the real costume.
Yeah, it's actually... I think, what era of Avengers is it? It's got...
You know, it's a little bit weird. As I've seen that new Vision costume in more and more books, I'm like, I can kind of work with it.
I can too, but I like the original better.
Yeah, the older era of Avengers has Beast on it, which I'm very excited about. And Jerome Pina gets to draw Beast, and it looks badass.
Nice. Dave, what else?
Was it? Classic Blue Beast.
Dave, what else is on your list?
I think y'all hit everything other than a couple of collected editions that I've got. One is the second volume of DC's collection of the new Teen Titans, the Wolfman Perez era that's generally considered to be the defining era of the modern Teen Titans.
Yeah.
The one that introduced Cyborg and Raven and Starfire and all
the one that Teen Titans Go is based on, too. I mean,
so this is the second collection. I actually don't know what all storylines occur in this, other than I saw that in flipping through it, it had some of the stuff with the Doom Patrol, which, you know, had a link to Changeling / Beast Boy.
Yep.
And so it seems like they were delving into kind of his past and, you know, having been What, he was raised by, was it Elastigirl?
Yeah, yes. Rita Farr. Yeah. Elastigirl.
And then lastly, I'm really looking forward to this. Empowered, the sort of naughty series with a brain.
Yeah. From Adam Warren.
From Adam Warren has, over the years, he generally puts out original graphic novels that are like, sort of look like manga format.
Yeah, sure.
Standalone graphic novels. But he's also done a lot of little color specials and one, and you know, not all color, but many of them in color. And this collects all of the little hard-to-find specials.
Yeah, and these have different artists on them, too.
This is, like, Takeshi Miyazawa, and I think...
Brandon Graham.
Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a huge list of artists, including Adam Warren himself on it, covering characters, side stories and filling in the stuff. I've read most of these as they were coming out, and I was always impressed by them. You know, they were never just throwaway bits. I think this one has the one in it with Made Man, probably the best hero of in a world of kind of a-hole douchebag heroes.
Yeah.
Made Man, the guy who is
M-A-I-D.
That's M-A-I-D. He wears a French maid costume.
Yep.
Is sort of the more or less the Captain America / Superman of their world.
Yeah.
And one of the few guys who actually backs Empowered and believes in her and all this. He's a great character. All Empowered fans need to go ahead and pick up this special.
Yep. I would, but you already took my copy.
Sorry, you should have ordered more, fool.
There's one more thing I'll mention, because I completely forgot.
Yep.
Batman the Animated Figures.
Yes.
We have new ones in stock. We have the Joker and Robin.
Both of which are awesome looking.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
It's and the then, original Robin look from when it was...
Animated series.
Yeah, before they sort of re-envisioned it and what Tim Drake came in later.
Yep, and they each come with, of course... A
ton of accessories,
accessories.
And then there's one more that we got. We just had too many special orders for. We underordered a little bit. We'll have it next week. But there's a new Man-Bat, and it is giant and impressive and cool-looking.
Yes, it is.
Well, it was so Biggie-sized that I couldn't believe that it was not, like, twice the price of the other.
But it's the same price, yeah.
Yeah. He literally has, like, a 12-inch wingspan.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Yeah, and it comes in a box that is, like, a giant, like, 12-inch long box.
There's also some new Arrow figures, the Dark Archer and Deadshot. There's a bunch of Pop Finals from Age of Ultron and Frozen. There's Frozen Minis. Aliens
Mystery Bank.
Harley Quinn Bus Bank from the Arkham Asylum. The Alien from the movie Alien Mini Blind Mini Boxes.
Yep.
And finally, if you have $100 burning a hole in your pocket, this week one of my favorite things I got was they finally put out Kevin Smith's Green Arrow Run with Phil Hester on artwork as a big giant absolute, and I had to get that because it's super awesome.
Yeah, the that is the run that launched sort of the best modern era of Green Arrow.
Yeah, yeah, it's great stuff. So I guess that about wraps it up for us this week.
We're going to skip the topics.
It's just too long for this week, so we'll do topics next week.
Sounds like
fun. Thanks for listening, and until next time, Yo-Jo! And that'll wrap it up for us this week. As always, you can drop us email with topic suggestions, things you want us to hear about, or just comments on the podcast at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at roguesgallery. Check us out on Facebook. Check out our website at www.roguesgallerytx.com. Check us out on Instagram at roguesgallerytx. And if you want to help us out, go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a little review. We'd very much appreciate it. And we will be back next week.